We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
If you wanted more basketball, there's basketball on all the time with the NBA Summer League. And joining me right now, former assistant coach with the Pistons, former member of my basketball team, the New Jersey Nets. Forget Derek Coleman. He was traded for Sean Bradley. And that is Rex Walters. Rex, how are you?
I am great. You have great selective memory,
yeah.
But I appreciate it.
I wasn't sure what to think about that trade at the time because I liked DC, but I understood it was time to move on. Sean Bradley to me looked like a stiff, so I wasn't very excited about him. So I was very. What was your reaction to that trade?
Oh, I was in Boston at the time, and it was the first time. It's probably the most time I spent with my teammates. They all came up to my room, gave me a hard time. And Jason Williams, Rick Mahorn. That was funny. And then I moved to Philly, and that wasn't great. I think we won 18 games that year. Derek was hurt the whole season, so it was a little bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, that's called being a Nets fan, Rex. I'm used to it. It's mostly a nightmare.
I hear you. Hopefully, they'll get it going here.
Yeah,
soon.
Hopefully. Well, before we talk specifically, because I know a lot of Knicks fans are pumped up about what they've seen from Kevin Knox and even Mitchell Robinson, who took a whole year off. What can you look for in the summer league? Because a part of me, when I watch it, I kind of take a pause and say, oh, it's the summer league. But then I remember last year, Kyle Kuzma playing really well, and he turned out to be the biggest jewel in the draft as far as where he was selected. So when you watch the summer league, what advice do you give to fans on how to not read too much into it, but definitely take something out of what you're watching?
Well, what you've seen so far with Kevin Knox is you've seen a marked difference between him and fringe players. He's played really well. He's put up good numbers. I'm going to watch him a little bit more in depth on Tuesday, but that's what you've seen. You're right. It's summer league, and you're talking about guys that are good college players, good overseas players, maybe some rotational guys, a lot of first-round, second-round picks, but it's not the guys that they're going to face. But you want to see a guy play really well, a marked difference between him and fringe NBA players. And Kevin's done that so far, so that's a really good sign.
Well, he's explosive, especially around the basket. I think the one concern that's already been written about him, let alone the two games he's played, is kind of developing that jump shot. Your thoughts on that part of Knox's game, really hitting the outside shot?
Well, I think guys will get better with time with shooting. The whole farce with college basketball, you get 2 hours in the spring, 4 hours in the summer. It's a joke. So guys can't get better because they don't get coached and get the reps that they need to get to become a more efficient player. He'll get that in New York. He'll get that being an NBA player. David Fizdale's done a great job with player development. I'm sure he's got a great staff that's going to really hone in on that, because you have to, at this level, you can't play 5-on-4. They're too good. You have to be able to knock down that shot, be able to make guys close hard to you so you create that driving lane, those driving lanes, so you can use that great athleticism that he has.
Is it difficult for a guy like Knox, because the Knicks are clearly a team that's not going to be competing? They're hurt by the fact that Porzingis may miss the entire year. We'll see how much time he misses. That it's more of an expanded role probably right out of the gate for him, and certainly a lot more pressure on him because of the situation he's in. Is that better for the growth of a young player, or do you think it makes it more difficult?
Well, I think it's great that they have a guy like Fizz coaching, because you want to manage his minutes. You do want to give him a lot of opportunities, especially if this year's not necessarily a playoff year. If KP's out, they're not going to make the playoffs.
Right.
So Porzingis is done. You want to manage his minutes, so you don't want to give him too much that he can get exposed, but you want to give him enough that he does have development. He does create some confidence for himself, because you're only going to get confidence playing well and playing, quite honestly. So if he can do that and they can manage his minutes, he'll still play a majority of the time, but just see growth over the course of the season. And it's a grind, so you got to really manage to make sure his body's right, his game improves, and he's fresh going into when it really starts to matter, when they get Porzingis back, when they add a few more pieces and truly become a playoff contender.
Talking NBA and Summer League with Rex Walters. I know there's a lot of Knicks fans. I'm not one of them, but because I'm not a Knicks fan, but there's a lot of Knicks fans who look at anybody who coaches his team and says they're going to be a failure. And I understand why they think that, because all you got to do is look at the last 15 years. I feel differently about this coach. I like Fizdale. I thought that was a real solid hire. Your thoughts on Fizdale and what Nick fans could expect from this guy?
Well, great energy. I think you're going to get unbelievable. Great organization. When you play and work, or you work for the Miami Heat, you're going to understand what it takes to really develop a culture, the right type of players you want in that system, the system being really tight and organized and detailed. And yet at the same time, he's a player's coach. He's young enough. He can relate to these guys. He'll get the most out of them. There's a lot of great positives. Now, obviously, being in New York, it's a microscope. I was a Jersey guy, so we didn't quite get the same type of attention, obviously, but no team in the NBA really gets the scrutiny that a New York team coach or player gets. So that's the tough side of being a Knick coach.
It's fascinating watching Mitchell Robinson because you see the size, you see how impressive he's been in the first two games he's played. He's blocking shots all over the place. Looks like he can be a real good rim protector. But we're talking about a guy that didn't play last year. I mean, it's odd thinking that this guy hasn't played a real basketball game in over a year. How good do you think this kid could be, Mitchell Robinson?
He's got a chance. And here's the thing. In college, there's a lot of misinformation. College coaches aren't designing their program to necessarily develop NBA players. So, you know, sometimes it's never good to not play, but he didn't build any habits that won't translate to the NBA system. Mm. No college team runs an NBA system. So in that way, if he was with someone good, staying in shape, working on his game, those are all going to be positive things. Now, obviously you need to be coached. You need to get direction. But if he had some of that with him, I don't know. I'm not around him. That would have been a positive thing. But the bottom line is he's got great athleticism, got good size. If he can be a ball screen rim runner and bring something to the table defensively like you're talking about, you've just added a piece at a pretty good price.
I know you've watched a lot of these games so far. Who's impressed you the most?
Well, I'd say Mo Bamba from a defensive standpoint. He's really far away right now offensively, and I've only watched a half. But everything was just – contested at the rim. With him and Jonathan Isaac, Orlando's got some good defensive pieces and length. I mean, just great length across the front line that's young. So that's encouraging. With you know, Gordon's re-signing, goodness gracious, they've got some athleticism. They're going to have to add some shooting, but Mo Bamba will bring a defensive presence. He just physically, he's a little behind, and he's going to have to work at that. You know, I liked Devontae Graham. It was really surprising. I watched Frank Mason as well. Frank Mason was getting all the accolades when they played together, and Devontae Graham's really played well for Charlotte. So I'm looking forward to watching today's games. I'm going to watch more of it. But those are the guys that really stood out to me in just the short time I've been here.
It was over a week ago, but I saw the reaction on Twitter when Boogie Cousins made his decision, and it was stunning. I think a lot of us were just, where the hell did this come from? He's going to the Warriors? And there was a lot of doom and gloom about this sport, that this is just bad for the game. He's with the Warriors. It's unfair. What was your reaction to that announcement that DeMarcus Cousins, of all places, was going to the Warriors?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't as doom and gloom as everyone else. Obviously, he's an all-star. He's a great player. He hasn't had much of any success in the playoffs. He hasn't had much success, period, until last year. But then he got hurt when they really made their run. He's going to have some adjustments to make. He's obviously a great talent, brings a lot to the table. It's a different system, different style. I think Steve Kerr does an unbelievable job of managing egos, handling egos, developing guys, putting together a culture and a system that's it's loose, but at the same time, it's highly organized. That could be great for DeMarcus, but he's going to have some adjustments. There's going to be some egos in the room, but egos in terms of it's all about winning, and he's never won. So you brought great talent, but you also brought some baggage as well.
Right now, and I know the Lakers are trying to get Kawhi Leonard. We all know they're still trying to make that deal. Who knows if it'll happen. When they get LeBron, which I don't think surprised anybody, to see them add Rondo and Stevenson, of all people, and JaVale McGee, they do have a lot of young talent on that roster, but where are they right now? I mean, do you look at them as a team that can challenge for really anything in the Western Conference?
Well, I think they're a playoff team. You got the best player in the world. It's interesting that they've got more playmaking type guys than they have shooters. They have great length. I mean, we played them twice, and they gave us all we can handle with their size and athleticism, Ingram, Kuzma, but they don't have great shooting. So if they're going to play this way, they have to be great defensively, which quite honestly hasn't been LeBron's thing in the last few years. It's been about energy conservation playing 82 games. But they're going to have to create offense with their defense if they're not going to have great shooting. They need to add that shooting component, but they do have great playmaking. Rondo is high IQ. You have to be when you can't shoot it. He's got high IQ. With Stevenson, you've got great toughness. But once again, the shooting component is a concern.
Now, I remember about your team last year. You were obviously an assistant with the Pistons. You beat a lot of good teams. Didn't you beat the Warriors and you beat the Cavs? And you? It seems like my memory says that you guys were beating a lot of elite teams last year. The Rockets, I think you beat one time. You beat basically everybody.
Well, I'm a Stan Van Gundy guy, so I love what he did. The bottom line is you lose your best player, and I know people will say, well, Blake Griffin's your best player. Well, we didn't get him till after the, you know, till after the All-Star break. You know, didn't have a lot of time with him. Andre Drummond is a great ball screen rim runner, very talented. But our best playmaker was Reggie Jackson. In 37 games, he was out. We went 12-27 in those 39 games that he was out. And that was it. No, you know, coaching is not going to make up with losing your best playmaker. Ish Smith did a solid job in the time that he was gone. But Reggie was our best closer, our best pick and roll offensive player, and our best overall playmaker on our team. And we really missed that, and because of that, we're kind of all looking for a job right now.
No, it feels, and it's unfair because we saw what happened to Dwayne Casey, who got the job, that coaches are blamed when rosters or injuries affect the team. They basically, when you can't get rid of all the players or you can't figure out why things aren't clicking in the Raptors' case, their Cavalieritis or LeBronitis that they basically had in the playoffs, it seems like we live in a world now in the NBA where it's, okay, blame the coach. Hey, what else can we do? And it seems like that happens a lot now with everybody.
It happens. I mean, those are the easiest guys to fire. They're not making the most money on your roster. But, you know, Stan's going to be fine. Dwayne Casey's a great coach. He proved it, you know, over the last 8 years, what he's done in Toronto with that roster and you know, development of Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, picking, you know, just he's a great coach. It's a great fit for Detroit. Obviously, I was biased towards Stan, but Dwayne's a great coach, and he got a raw deal. So it was good to see him land on his feet.
Oh, absolutely. How weird is it going to be to see Tony Parker wearing a Hornet jersey? How weird is that?
I played probably one of the first Summer League games that Tony Parker ever played. I played against him. He was pretty good then. He was pretty good, so it will be weird. The Spurs, this is the first time in a very, very long time you've had this type of drama where – obviously, Tony leaves, and then the whole Kawhi Leonard fiasco. This is the first time, so this is kind of a change in the old guard and how things are done with the Spurs organization.
Where is the best spot for Carmelo Anthony, in your opinion?
I would still say L.A. because he does bring that shooting. He brings a guy that can make big shots. He's not afraid of the moment. Obviously, they have some pieces defensively that can help him. I talked about this a little bit before. He's got to make a commitment to make some changes. He's got to make a commitment on the defensive to give effort, to really lock in and guard. He doesn't have the same bounce. He doesn't have the same explosiveness, but he still has the touch and the game offensively to be a contributor, be someone that can help an organization. And the Lakers are probably the best fit for him.
It seems like there are some guys who later in their careers realize, okay, I've got to change who I am a little bit as a player. I've got to take on a lesser role. And unless Melo has an awakening after this buyout, it feels as if he's not doing that. He still wants to start. He still wants to play 35 minutes a night. He's still not giving that maximum effort defensively. And you wonder, well, if he doesn't make that adjustment, is there going to be a good place for him in this NBA right now?
Well, all players across the board should want to give more and ask for less, which sounds crazy with all the money that they're getting now, but that's really what he needs to do. He needs to give more effort, more energy, more efficiency, right, and ask for less. Maybe a smaller role, maybe coming off the bench, a third or fourth option when he's out there with the main group, and then maybe a number one option coming in when he's with the second rotation guys. That's what he needs to do, but the biggest thing is he needs to answer that question, are you going to commit? And it's hard because when you don't have the habits defensively,
right,
it's a hard adjustment to make, and he hasn't built those habits up over the course of time.
No, you're right about that. Hey, Rex, I appreciate you coming on for a few minutes. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, really appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Thank you, man. Rex Walters, he was an assistant with the Pistons last year, had a nice NBA career, played with the Nets for a few years, Miami, Philadelphia.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.